Is an election the answer to Lebanon's many challenges? Voters are electing a new parliament in the middle of a devastating economic crisis. But from mismanagement to corruption to outside interference, will this vote make any difference? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Hashim Ahalbarra. Lebanon is a country in crisis. It suffered an economic meltdown in 2019 and was hit again during the pandemic in 2020. That same year, a horrific explosion, one of the largest in human history, killed more than 200 people and destroyed much of the capital, Beirut. Unable to find accountability for the explosion, the entire government resigned. Lebanon's current political system dates back to the end of its civil war in 1990, put into place to bring stability after years of fighting. But now, that same system designed to protect a fragile peace is seen by many as an obstacle to real change. We'll get to our guests in a moment. First, this report from Rasul Serdar in Beirut.
As the political instability and the economic crisis continue in Lebanon, these elections are being seen by many as a test for real change in the country. A total of 718 candidates are running for 128 seats in the parliament, which is equally divided between Muslims and Christians. However, neither the Christians nor the Muslims are united. In Lebanon, traditionally, two competing camps have been dominating politics for nearly two decades. The March 8 coalition, which includes the pro-Iranian and pro-Syrian parties such as the Christian Free Patriotic Movement and Shia Muslim Hezbollah and Amal movements. On the other side has been March 14 coalition, which consists of the anti-Iranian, anti-Syrian parties such as the Christian Lebanese Forces and the Sunni Muslim Future Movement and Druze Muslim Progressive Socialist Party. But things have changed now. So the leader of the Future Movement, Saad Hariri, who was also the former prime minister and once was holding the largest Sunni bloc in the parliament, said that his party will not run for the election and is going to boycott the election, which this is a decision that effectively put an end to March 14 coalition and also left the Sunnis in the country without a leader, while the Shia Muslim parties are trying hard to gain the majority in the parliament once again. So in Lebanon, there will be a presidential elections in October. And so the outcome of these elections are not going to only determine who will have the majority in the parliament, but also it will have a remarkable impact on who will be the next president and the prime minister of the country. Rasul Serdar for Inside Story.
Lebanon's economic situation is dire. The United Nations says nearly 80% of its people live in poverty, and more than 300,000 lost their homes in the 2020 port explosion. Medical stockpiles are running low, and some hospitals are in ruins, and those that are functioning are usually overwhelmed. The Lebanese currency has lost more than 90% of its value, devastating for a nation that imports most of its goods. The World Food Programme says nearly half of Lebanon's population is struggling to find food, and banks have been blocking people from accessing their money. Let's bring in our guests. They're all joining us from Beirut. Ali Ibrahim is a co-founder and CEO of Daraj.com, an independent digital media platform. Heiko Wimmen is a project director for Iraq, Syria, Lebanon at the International Crisis Group. And Jamal Ghusn is a political commentator and former editor of Al-Akhbar English newspaper. Welcome to the programme. Alia, is this election going to deliver the change that many Lebanese have been hoping for?
Well, we shouldn't expect any miracles to happen. The results of these elections are to a large extent predetermined by almost 100 out of 128 seats, and that's because of the law that has been adopted by the political elite. Despite their differences, despite their the contradictions, they have put together a law that guarantees the regeneration of the same political class. That's not to undermine the importance of even as little as the number of seats that could be gained by new faces should not be undermined. We have to look today at turnout, which until this hour continues to be very low. We have to see what kind of margins and loss between the representatives or the candidates representing new opposition groups versus the political elite. If we're looking at thousands of votes that separate the losers from the winners, then we can easily say that this is a big win for the political establishment. If the losses mm-hmm. are in a few hundred votes, it's another landscape. But to say that for the last, we have seen how the political establishment, the whole spectrum, has been acting the last few weeks. They have used everything to intimidate, demotivate voters from heading today to the voting polls. Again, magic is not going to happen today. We're not going to see, it was not even possible to see a landsliding victory for the opposition, but we have to look at indicators because this is what's going really to kind of dictate how change could be happening in Lebanon in the future.
Heike, if the voter turnout is going to be low, who's going to benefit from that?
I mean, so typically, and I think in any environment, a low voter turnout benefits parties who have efficient organization, who have efficient electoral machine, and who can or have also committed voters, ideologically, politically committed voters, and who will always get their turnout. And it's less good for parties that don't have these means. So right now, I mean, I left my home 2 hours ago and to walk around and look at the polling stations. And I mean, I've seen in some areas quite a lot of people coming to vote, in other areas less. At 12:01 in some areas, you had already above 20%, which mm-hmm. is quite good. So 50%, if you get to 50%, that is a good turnout. If we have 25% already at noon or at 1 in some places, maybe it's not going to be so bad.
Jamal, this election comes against the backdrop of a growing anti-establishment sentiment across Lebanon. Could it be an indication that the traditional political parties will suffer a setback in this election?
I think there's a false dichotomy that is being promoted, especially in Western media, that there is, you know, the anti-establishment opposition and an establishment that's united. This is completely inaccurate and does not reflect the reality on the ground in Lebanon. There are political parties are being grouped together that are in no way see eye to eye on many critical issues and vital issues in the country, and the same with the opposition groups. So this is not really a fight against the establishment or a growing resentment of a united establishment. We're not talking about a one-party system like we have in other Arab countries, or where you have autocracies that have mm-hmm. been in many countries around the region. So no, we have it's a very diverse country with a lot of different political groups, and we have alliances that have shifted and changed with time. Sometimes they form national unity government, sometimes they don't. The idea is that there's one establishment that is in cahoots against any new opposition. That's a little bit absurd, and it's reductive, and it's really far from true. Mm-hmm.
Alia, are you of the same view?
Go ahead. Actually, I think I would very much disagree with Mr. Jamal. Two very quick examples. We have the Free Patriotic Movement and the Amal Movement, who traditionally throughout 4 years are at each other's neck as really enemies that cannot support each other. We see them today allied in the elections. We have seen members of bankers, for example, like Mr. Marwan Khairuddin, running on the election on the lists of Hezbollah and the Shia duopoly, and that's basically because there are common interests to the political elite right now in Lebanon. It has been challenged in the streets during the long demonstrations in 2019. I agree, maybe, that it was it's impossible to think that without the framework of political parties that could generate new political parties, it's impossible to stand against the political establishment that has been there for 30 years, mm-hmm. rooting itself so strongly. But to say that this regime that is in Lebanon is representative of the Lebanese people, that's actually the absurdity. You're talking about a population mm-hmm. that has been ripped of its money. Basically its capital completely destroyed. Till now, two people who are actually accused of being involved or not at least in a position of responsibility vis-a-vis the Beirut explosion are running and are today on the electoral lists of this political establishment, namely Mr. Ali Hassan Khalil and Mr. Ghazi Zaiter. To say that this is representative of the population, of the Lebanese population, is really not at all a description of what's happening in Lebanon right now.
Heiko, traditionally, the future movement led by Saad al-Hariri used to control somehow two-thirds of the Sunni seats in the parliament. Now he's not participating in the election. He's asking his own people to boycott the elections. The question is, who do you think is going to inherit the legacy of the future movement? Who's going to take advantage of their absence?
Oh, that's one of the million-dollar questions, I think. So, as you said, rightly said, Saad Hariri has more or less called on his supporters to boycott the polls. Now, not all people in that camp or that used to be his people are heeding that call, right? I mean, you have Ibrahim Alouche in Tripoli running, who used to be a high official, ranking official in the Mustaqbal, in the Future Movement, who's very popular up there. You have Fouad Senoura running, who used to be a lieutenant, maybe, of Hariri, who's running in Beirut. I think what we can expect is surely that the Sunni vote, if you want to describe it that way, is going to be fragmented, and that we will have in a new parliament the 27 or 28 seats that are reserved for Sunnis will be held by several small groups, and there will be a part of those 28 seats that are held by MPs who are sympathetic to Hezbollah, Amal, and the bloc of Hezbollah, Amal, and FPM, and may actually help this bloc to maintain its majority, which it may otherwise lose.
Jamal, the alliance between Hezbollah and the Free Patriotic Movement has been quite instrumental in the sense that it has been widely seen as a platform that paved the way for Hezbollah to consolidate its political clout in Lebanon. Do you see that alliance holding in the near future with all those reports about signs of disintegration within the Free Patriotic Movement?
I think those are also grossly exaggerated. The Free Patriotic Movement, we'll see the results today, but it's not, its demise, the call for its demise is a bit premature. Mm-hmm. I think the Free Patriotic Movement is still one of the biggest parties in Lebanon. They will have definitely have one of the top three parliamentary blocs after today's election. And that's not a disintegration by any means. And this is, we have to keep in mind that this comes after an all-out attack by major powers against pressuring the Free Patriotic Movement. And in order to break their alliance with Hezbollah, we've seen sanctions by the U.S. against the leader of the Free Patriotic Movement, Gibran Basile. We've seen a lot of foreign forces invest a lot in the opposition and forces that are opposed to the FPM. And yet, despite all of that, it has held together and it will have a strong showing. And I think the idea was that they wanted to delegitimize Gibran Basile's bid to become a serious candidate for president of Lebanon as a representative or a leader of the strongest Christian party in Lebanon. And despite all these efforts, I think he still has a legitimate case in to be that, despite media conglomerate in Lebanon all trying to... it was an all-out attack, basically, in the last two years against the FPM, and they still held through. We'll see how far they've lost, and this is what's going to dictate whether Gibran Basile can be considered as a president, as a presidential candidate of Lebanon or not.
Alia, do you agree with those who say that the Lebanese forces led by Samir Jaja are likely to continue to bite into the power base of the Free Patriotic Movement and establish themselves?
Well, I think even from the even from the statistics that we have, we see now, the biggest question mark is going to be the Christian vote today, because even at this hour, at this early hour, the rates are very high in the Christian areas. Whether or not we know super well that right now Mr. Basile is being supported by by Hezbollah and its allies, and all the pro-Syrian presence in Lebanon, whether or not how much of their big bloc they will be able to retain, this is what you will see in the coming hours. There has been a lot said over the last few months about who possibly could become president in the coming future. This will be reflected probably in this elections. But again, I was this afternoon, and this is the point that need to be made, because it's about really the legitimization of this political establishment. I went to Tripoli today in North Lebanon to vote myself, and on the way I stopped in different areas to see what is happening. And you could easily see with the naked eye that the representation on the ground with the representatives, with delegates, etc., is really for the political parties that have the means. It's for the people. And it's not true that the media, the Lebanese mainstream media, has supported the opposition. The Lebanese mainstream media supported those who have the financial means to appear on TV, because it was all paid. And it was on the record. It was known that candidates who have the means could make it on TV for the longest and the prime time slots. This means that this is not to say that this is not a good elections that we need to keep an eye on.
Okay.
This is to say that we have to really be very analytical when we look at the results in the coming few hours.
Okay.
To say that, okay.
Heiko, when you have in 2018 the independents saying that they were going to vie for a bigger say, that didn't happen. Today, do you think that the anti-establishment candidates or the pro-October 17 candidates will make somehow a difference in this election?
It's a hard call, but I think it's pretty clear that the competition that you are seeing now in several districts between different lists that all claim the mantle of the October 19 movement, the protest movement, doesn't help, right? I mean, if you have an electoral threshold of, let's say, 8,000 votes, and then you have four or five lists competing for the same constituency, for the same number of people who do want change, it may give them one seat or even two, depending on how it goes in the counting, and instead they get nothing because all four are below the threshold. That could very well be. And now there are many reasons why they were unable to form these unified lists, or at least tactical alliances. But I mean, that is really, really a failure, I would say. It is a failure of these groups. There are many reasons why, and some reasons make sense. But if today we are not getting the result mm-hmm. that we were hoping for, or that those people were in support of this movement were hoping for, some of the reason is also with them. We must say that.
Jamal, if the results just consolidate the fears of the people, which is bringing about the same oligarchs, party leaders, traditional elite that has been fomenting sectarian issues in the country, the international community might take a backstage when it comes to delivering the urgent economic rescue package that Lebanon needs to be able to move forward.
There, you just touched on it. It's not an establishment and an anti-establishment division. It's a pro-neocolonial power Western elite or pro-Western elite. And there are popular forces that have maintained their representation and their division and their strength despite an all-out attack on them. And the results today will reflect that. You're going to see in the numbers that the pro-sovereignty forces led by the resistant movement Hezbollah and its allies are going to, if you look at the popular voice, because you keep talking about the people, just count the votes and see the popular vote that's going to be, you're going to see that they're going to be underrepresented despite winning, they're going to win the majority in parliament, and yet they're going to be underrepresented because a lot of the people are get marginalized in the Lebanese electoral system in favor of the Beirut elites and the rich neighborhoods in Beirut that get a more favorable count in the elections. And that's why you're going to see some people are going to get reach an electoral threshold of around 6,000 and get to parliament, while others will reach 20,000 in areas outside Beirut and not qualify because the system is biased towards the old elites. And we're talking here about the bankers who brought the collapse and the bankruptcy that Lebanon is going through upon it. And now we're not talking about it. We're talking about an imaginary establishment that doesn't exist.
Well, you know, people have been saying loads of things and there are different characterizations anyway as far as the political landscape in Lebanon is concerned. Alia?
Yes, because I really have to touch on this.
Go ahead. Very briefly, if you don't mind.
Yes, but the same people that Mr. Jamal is mentioning, I'm going to mention a story that we published just 2 days ago. Marwan Khairuddin is the owner of Al Mawarid Bank. He was the bank that transferred the money of the son of Riyad Salemi, who is the central bank governor, on October, after October 19, when the deposits of the Lebanese people were stuck in the banks. This is Mr. Marwan Khairuddin running on the lists of Hezbollah in South Lebanon. This is not the political elite. The political elite, the corrupt elite, is running on the lists of the political establishment, whether we like it or we don't. And it is regenerating itself today on those lists. This is a political elite that is doing everything to protect its rights, its presence, and to stay in power and to block the road and to use all those slogans. I'm sorry, but the sovereignty, the Lebanese people have been on the street saying they want Lebanon for the Lebanese. This is the sovereignty of Lebanon, a Lebanon that takes its decisions inside Lebanon, that does not serve political agendas that are regional.
I wish we had time to continue talking about the elections and the aftermath of whatever might happen for the future for Lebanon. But in the meantime, Alia Ibrahim, Heiko Vim and Jamal Ghussein, thank you for your insight and looking forward to talking to you in the future. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJA Inside Story. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJA Inside Story. For me, Hashim Al-Bara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.